Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Oasis podcast. And we've been in a series called Heaven is a Real Place. And let me tell you, it's exciting. And this is the sixth in the series. So if you haven't heard the first five, you want to go back and just begin to listen and to see what the Bible has to say about heaven. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven. So let me pray and let's get started because this is going to be exciting. So Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon this time. Father, as I open up the Word of God and I spend time with my friends, that Lord, that we would hear from you, that you would be the special guest today, and that you would open our eyes to understand heaven. And Lord, you taught us to pray that as it is in heaven, let it be on the earth. And you told us to set our mind and our affection on things above, where you are seated at the right hand of our Father, God. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your presence. Order our steps. Lord, we want to know more. We want to understand more about heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the Colossian church, and in the very first chapter, it's very powerful, and I'm turning there right now, Colossians 1, and it says this, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have for all the saints. Now, that's number 4. Verse 5, Colossians 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you. So he talks to the Colossian church. He says, listen, heaven is a part of your salvation. And it's a part of the hope that we have in Christ. And so I believe it's important to talk about heaven, to preach about heaven, and just to let the Word of God speak to us and to increase our spiritual understanding, our capacity concerning heaven. And so here it is in the book of Colossians. This church in Colossae, they had an understanding of heaven. It was a part of the gospel, and it was one reason why they were bearing fruit. So wherever we go, we need to preach about heaven. And so now, let's begin today with Luke chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. So Luke chapter 10, and the Bible declares in verse 19, which, this is a verse we as evangelists, we love this verse. So I'm going to read it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So here's the disciples. They come back to Jesus. They're so excited. Lord, we've been healing the sick and casting devils out of people. And whenever we come in your name, through your name, devils are in subjection. And it's pretty exciting. You would be very happy, too, if you were with them. And so Jesus says in verse 20, and this is the verse we're going to look at today. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto these babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. So here is the Father. He is working. And that's what I want you to grab hold of. God is working. The Father is working. He's got a plan. Part of the plan is go out, preach the gospel, and tell people, repent, believe, and cast devils out of people. And that's what they did. And so they came back so happy. But then Jesus, he does something here. He says something that I don't think has ever been spoken before. He talks about their names written in heaven. Whoo, wow. Later that day, I'm sure at dinner, they were talking about, you know, hey, Peter, yes, John, it was exciting casting devils out of people, but Jesus said there's something even more exciting. Yeah, he talked about our names written in heaven. So now in Luke chapter 15, we're going to get a little more insight here. In Luke chapter 15, you kind of have the parable of people repenting. And so the first thing that he talks about, Jesus talks about the parable of the lost sheep. And he says something in verse 20, actually in Luke 15, verse 7. He says, I say to you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then in verse 10, he says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Now, you got to go slow with that. Jesus is giving some revelation that when a man or a woman changes their heart and repents, that it has an effect in heaven. In fact, he said, the angels in heaven rejoice. Now, that tells you that heaven is not so far away. Heaven is the throne. The earth is the footstool. God is intimately involved with this planet. And when a man or woman begins to make room in their heart for God, it has an effect. So here Jesus is talking about joy. Okay, cast out devils, but this is what you need to rejoice, that your names are written in a book in heaven, in the Lamb's book, really, is what it is. And then he talks about the joy over repentance. So that's where we're going to go today, is that the operation of heaven, how heaven is affected by these things, and of course, the book of life. Now, let's go to Revelation 3, verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Now look at this. Listen to this. Jesus is talking in Revelation, and he says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. All right, now we're going slow here. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. When one sinner repents, the effect it has in heaven, okay? And now he's talking about overcoming. He's talking to the church, overcome. And if you overcome, I will not blot out your names out of the book of life. Now, this church, he's giving them a warning. It's the Sardis church. And he's really warning them. And he's encouraging them, you need to overcome. And if you choose to overcome, I'm not going to blot out your name out of what? The book of life. So there is a book in heaven called the book of life. And I think that's what Jesus was saying. This book is a very special book. And this is where you need to focus your joy, that your name is written in this book of life. Let's go on and look at a couple other things. Revelation 13, verse 8, talks about the book of life again. Revelation 17, verse 8, talks about names being written in the book of life. Revelation 20, verse 12, actually, I'm going to read Revelation 20 and verse 12. And it says this, actually, let's go to verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, this is a revelation of the majesty and the strength of who God is. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. Pause. That word books is in the plural. There are books in heaven. Did you know that? You know, on the earth, there's a lot of books. People like books. We love books. I have a library, and a lot of people I know, they have libraries. I've been in some really big castles in Europe, and there's always one area where there's a library, and they're always full of books. And then we have places that we can go. We call them libraries. And it's just a building full of books. We love books. Heaven is full of books. And in fact, the Bible says that concerning Jesus, if everything was written about him that could be written, the world could not contain all of the books. Books are important to God. And that's why you like books. You're made in his image. You like books. We write books. I've written two books. And it's always exciting when you write that first book. You're like, wow, this is really special. I wrote something, and now it's in a binding. And I believe that our books on the earth will be in heaven. Good books, that is. Books that talked about overcoming, talked about the Lord. Things that we hear on this planet, we haven't seen the Lord, we haven't been to heaven, but we took the word of God in prayer and overcoming, and we began to write about these experiences. I believe those books are going to be in heaven. Those books are precious to the Lord. And so in this case, this is judgment, and there are books. And another book was opened, so there's another book. Books, and then another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, the book of life. How important is the book of life? Everything. That's why Jesus said, you better rejoice that your names are in that, and that's where you need to keep your focus. Revelation 21, verse 27. And the Bible says this, and there shall in no wise enter anything that defiles, neither works an abomination or makes a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there's the book of life. I mean, we've been reading scripture after scripture, or just giving a reference, book of life. How important is the book of life? Now, in Revelation 22:19, the Bible says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, and I believe that means what we call the book of Revelation, that God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's a lot to chew on that, but there again, it talks about the book of life. That God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So he talks about being in the book and being taken out of the book. And so I think that's why Jesus was getting these guys to focus. Listen, it's great to preach the gospel and to cast out devils, but there's something you need to really rejoice about and keep your focus on, that book of life, the Lamb's book of life. So now let's take a look. Now that we've laid that foundation, let's go to Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Actually, we're going to focus on chapter 5. But chapter 4 is very important here because John is taken up into heaven. And he begins to see. He begins to see the throne of God. And he says, man, he that sits on it is like a sardine and a jasper. Well, these stones have different colors, and they're semi-precious stones that we call semi-precious. But those colors are coming out. And you know what? When we stand before our Father, the light of all those different semi-precious stone colors are going to be coming out of him in such glory, shining on the man that has a whiter complexion, and then the man that has the blacker complexion, the brown, the red, the more yellowish color. These are all the colors that are in the sardine, in the jasper. It's so beautiful. And now you know why we all look so different. It's because of that light of his glory coming out of the throne. But, you know, his throne itself is like a sapphire. And over the throne, there's an emerald rainbow. And then above the throne, you have these four living creatures with six wings. And they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of the glory of God." And that shakes everything. That's power. Guys, that's power. Right before the throne, you've got the altar. There are angels who specifically are working at that altar. The prayers are coming up. They're adding incense. They're casting the fire of those coals upon the earth. I mean, this is big stuff. And so the throne of God is real. But now, because we've been talking about the book of life, let's start with chapter 5 and verse 1. And the Bible says, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" There's a book and there are seals. They're together, but they're two different things. There's a book, and then there are seals. And so let's just go as we read this. I want you to see the book and the seals. "And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look on it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, let's just pause there for a minute. What kind of a book is this? John sees in the hand of the Father a book. No angels are involved, no living creatures, no elders. It's just the Father has a book. And he says that book, it's not even right. No man can go in and look on it, much less take it and open it. This is a powerful book here. There's something here going on. And because he realized the life, the power of the Father in this book, and he realizes no man is able, he begins to weep and to cry. I mean, he's having an experience there in the presence of God, before the throne of God, and what this book is. All of a sudden, he hears, "Hey, don't weep. God's made a way." And he begins to direct him to the Lamb. He calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Whew, that's strength. He calls him the Root of David. Ooh, he's a man. "And he prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now listen, now we've got to go real slow here. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Pause. I don't think John was seeing a lamb. I think the character of Jesus, who became a man, humbled himself, suffered the persecution and the beating at the hands of men he created, and then he submitted himself to death itself. He never cursed. He didn't call down fire from heaven, right? No, he was quiet. Isaiah said he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. John was seeing Jesus and the character of Jesus and who he is, how humble he is, how gentle he is, how kind. But in all of that, how he overcame. This is not weakness. Whew. I'm getting excited here. Verse 7. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book, to open the seals, for you were slain. You redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And you made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth." There are no angels involved in this. A lot of times you see angels coming and receiving something from the Lord, and there's no angels. This is in the hand of the Father, and then Jesus comes. And when this book is put into his hand, a book that no man can open, no man can even look upon it, when it's put into the hands of Jesus, the power of God hits heaven, and everybody is on their faces, and they're singing and crying out how worthy he is. And they're singing a song about the blood, about redemption, how people have been purchased. What kind of a book is this? You're talking about power. Why is the Book of Life important? Well, just read. That's why Jesus said, don't rejoice so much about devils. Rejoice that your name is in this book. A book that when Jesus takes it, only he can handle it. And when he takes it, all of heaven begins to sing about his redemption, his blood, how he's worthy to take it. I believe that this year, 2025, that the more we have a revelation of heaven and this book of life, that we preach stronger. We tell people to repent. We tell people about the love of God. We say there's a book in heaven. Your name needs to be in that book. Jesus talked about it, that when a man repents, when he turns to God, the power of that book of life that only the Father and Jesus can touch. Heaven is affected by it. That's why we need to have a revelation. My name is written in heaven, and that is the most important thing in my life, that I'm in Christ, and in my name is in this book. Whew. Oh, listen, that's enough for today. I think get your Bible, go out and study it a little bit, read about it, and then preach Jesus Christ and how much he loves people. Get people saved. And so that's enough for today. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.